Hello, world, and welcome to my show, Sight for Sound. When you see yourself as you truly are, you make sound choices in life. I am your host and life coach, Janet Kaleri, and I am here to ignite your potential. I have an awesome show today, an extraordinary guest, Camille Amin, co-founder of Inside Out Community Arts. I am so excited. And today's topic is on differences. Before I even get into it, I want to hear your thoughts. Your thoughts, your questions are very, very important to me. They're very important to the listener. Whatever you share makes a positive impact on the world. So the numbers, 877-876-5227. The local number, 530-876-3222. And if you're in Canada, 888-815-9756. You can find all these numbers on the website, bbsradio.com/sight4sound. And again, I'm so excited for today, talking about differences. The topic on differences has been the height of my conversations, I guess, for the last month. And I'm going to share my definition of differences. There is one definition which means impact or change, but that's not the definition I'm speaking of today. I am speaking of opposing views, dissimilarity, dispute, controversy, and distinction. And this not only refers to with others, but it actually refers to with the self. In fact, I just got a call from another extraordinary woman, a colleague and friend of mine, and she was running around ragged today and reminding and beating herself up and sort of an internal conflict, an internal dispute on what to do. I should be doing this, but I want to be doing this. And she got my email about the show today and really supported her in just calming down. So we're going further than opposing views and differences with others. We can even have a conversation today about opposing views within ourselves. So the question of the day is, who are we being in our differences? Who are you being in your differences? Who am I being in my differences? That's the question of the day. So that's the question because I believe that as human beings, we have a certain makeup. And we have been created to be different from each other, yet we are so similar. And I really see the beauty in that. So my thought is that our differences are never going to disappear. It's part of our makeup. It's part of human nature. And yet we are so similar. So if we look at our differences as an opportunity to know ourselves better, an opportunity to create community, an opportunity to strengthen the fabric of goodwill, I think we will begin to see more beauty in the fact that we are all different. And we all have a frame in which we view the world. This is how I like to look at it, is that each of us has a frame in which we view the world. So my view of the world is different from yours. Your view of the world is different from mine. This country's view of the world is different from Italy, and Italy's view of the world is different from, I don't know, let's just say Japan. religion. Lots of differences in religion. So my religion is different than yours. Some people are not religious at all. And in all of this, there's an unwillingness to engage in the differences. There's ageism. There's sexism, there's classism, there's all kinds of isms out there. So my hope today is to inspire you to be willing to engage in your differences, at least to try it on, at least to experiment with it. If you are a listener that is here to learn other tools to sort out your differences. A friend of mine quoted, it's not his quote, I don't know whose quote it is, but I like it. So it says, if there are two people exactly alike, one of them is not necessary. So that's the beauty in our differences. If there are two people exactly alike, one of them is not necessary. Now, I certainly wouldn't want to be the one that is not necessary, and I hope that you wouldn't as well, because we all have our uniqueness and our lovely gifts to offer in the world. Another question is, how can we get past our differences? So who are we being? Well, before we even answer that question, maybe the next question is, how can we get past our differences? I want you to call in. I want to hear from you. Ask questions. Your thoughts are really important. 877-876-5227, 530-876-3222. So some of the thoughts I have on how we can get past our differences. One thing is simple, is agree to disagree. And I learned that about, 6 years ago when I was driving across the country. I was moving from Boston to San Francisco, and my sister drove with me. Yay! And I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I don't like to be confined. She wanted me to be safe. She loves me and cares for me, and she wanted me to be safe and asked why I didn't wear my seatbelt. And I said, because I don't like to be constrained. I want to feel free. And she was really upset at the potential unsafety for me. And we got into a little tiff about it. We had our differences. And so she said to me, well, how about if we agree to disagree? And that was just so perfect. I mean, it was just perfect. It shut me up. We went on our way. And I remember that moment so clearly, and I used that moment. Why don't we agree to disagree? I used that in my life when differences come up for me and other people. One of the other thoughts I have on how we can get past our differences is clarifying our intention. And so what is our intention in any specific type of situation? We could talk about the war. We could talk about religion. Religion, that's actually what prompted this, is I believe that across the board in religions, there is an underlying identical intention. And if everybody were to clarify their intention or speak about the intention, the big picture, the overall intention more often, then perhaps there would be more peace within the religious sectors. My thoughts, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So if I'm in a difference, if I'm in a conflict, controversy with somebody, and we're not coming to any type of agreement, one of the things I ask, I bring into the conversation is, what is your intention and what is my intention? And a lot of times, talking about our intention, our overall intention, actually brings harmony to the conversation, and we get past the differences and we move on. Another thought I had about getting past our differences is not taking it personally. So perhaps there's somebody in your life who is behaving a certain way and you're behaving another way, and it's conflicting, and you're taking it personally, the way that this person is behaving. And so what would happen if you decided not to take it personally? I'm curious to know if that would support you in getting past your differences. And as I mentioned earlier, honoring yourself, the inner conflict, the opposing views, I should be doing this, but I really want to be doing that. I should. But yet knowing that something is better. And that leads me to another idea of making a choice for your higher good and for the good of others. So when they're opposing views, we could make a choice for the higher good of the people involved and for the good of others. So those are some of my thoughts. They're not necessarily anybody else's truth. They are on the table to provoke some questioning and some thought and some inspiration. And I would like to now bring in my guest, Camille Amin. She is, oh my goodness, she's extraordinary. She is the co-founder of Inside Out Community Arts in Venice, California. That is how I know her. And Inside Out Community Arts, their mission is through visual and performing arts workshops, performances, and festivals. Mission is to give youth from all backgrounds the tools, confidence, and inspiration to make a positive impact in their communities and the world from the inside out. And I just love the name Inside Out. I mean, it really is aligned with what I teach, and I've been involved with Inside Out for 2 years, and I'm really blessed to be working with some inner-city youth and working with Camille and the rest of the staff there and the artist teachers. So like to boast here, last year in 2006, Inside Out was flown to the White House, and they won the Coming Up Taller Award. I'll have Camille talk about that a little bit, but that's a huge award, so I'm really proud of it. She's co-founder of Inside Out Community Arts. She has been an actress on Broadway, has been in several shows like ER, Gilmore Girls, Melrose Place. Talk about differences, my gosh. she's taught voice. She has taught counsel, which was adapted from Indigenous peoples. Camille has worked with the homeless. She has worked with the criminally insane. She has worked with veterans in recovery. Oh, my. So, Camille Amin, welcome to my show, Sight for Sound. You are, I think, the perfect person for the perfect day and the perfect topic of differences. I've specifically invited Camille from Inside Out Community Arts because we do work with the youth in creating harmony within their differences. So welcome, Camille.
Thank you, Janet. Well, I'm really thrilled to be with you talking about this topic. And I loved everything you had to say so far. It really resonates with what we're trying to do at Inside Out as well.
Thank you. My goodness, so I gave some background about you and would love for you to share anything else that you think is pertinent to the world about you and your purpose.
Well, you know, I started as an actress. I knew I wanted to be an actress since I was 5 years old. But I looked at acting as an opportunity for healing, the way a doctor will heal the physical body. I felt that through words and the synergy of people creating something together on a stage or on film, that that it would be an opening to healing the soul, to healing the pain, allowing people to cry. And sometimes people can't cry for themselves, but they see a Hallmark commercial even, you know, and they start
yeah.
to cry. And allowing people to laugh and through the release of emotions, and hopefully if it's a really fine play, on Broadway was in Othello. You're having some really fine words there. That this would be a way to help us. You said that before. When you see yourself as you truly are, how did that finish?
You make sound choices.
You make sound choices. So I like that a lot. And that, to me, was really part of what I wanted to do as an actress. And then when I did a lot with acting, I also started feeling this isn't enough. And so from there, I started looking at how can I do what I do best in a way that's going to be helpful in an even more direct way for others. And that's how I started getting involved in other kinds of volunteer work, which ultimately led me to co-founding Inside Out with Jonathan Zeichner.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we felt that the arts, theater-based, because theater embraces all of the arts, and it involves having to work together, you know, that this was a beautiful vehicle for bridging the differences between
mm-hmm.
people and for opening up the imagination to see the world in a different way and to see each other in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that has really been my focus. You know, I have a lot of other hats that I've worn over life, but I don't know that you need to know all of those. Other than I have also worked in the healing arts, in terms of energy work and sound work, and guided visualization and other forms,
which,
you know, have all been a part of a one great big whole in terms of what I see as my purpose.
Great. And so do you, Camille, think that the releasing of emotions is a method of getting past differences?
Well, I mean, no, I think that it contributes to it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, I like to use a quote that has been attributed to Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's also been attributed as an African proverb. And I'm sure many of the people who are listening have heard it before. An enemy is someone whose story we have not yet heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love that it's not a whose story has not been told, but we have not yet heard.
Yeah.
To really hear means to listen with your ears and your eyes and your mind and your heart. That, to me, is what it means to hear. And I think that when we hear on that level, then we are hearing on an emotional level, too, that allows us to see people differently than we did. And once you are aware of the humanity and the commonality, as you say, as well as the uniqueness, that it allows us, it makes it impossible for us to treat someone the way we may have in the past, through ignorance
mm-hmm.
and not hearing the story.
Great. So really hearing somebody, rather than taking quick inventory, making a judgment, and taking action on that,
mm-hmm.
really hearing somebody with our ears, eyes, heart, nose, whatever.
And mind, yeah, everything.
Yeah, but really hearing that person, and in that, getting past that initial judgment, which may have been the vehicle to building a difference.
Right, right. I have a little quote here. I was looking through some of the things that our kids have said over the years. We work with middle school youth, and it's a time where if kids are going to start making boundaries and barriers between each other, that it really gets reinforced and solidified in a way that makes it a lot harder to break through it at a later time in their lives. So that is, in fact, one of the reasons why Inside Out was chose to work with middle school, is that we felt like we had a real opportunity to catch those wall buildings early enough on that maybe that we can bridge them, you know, break through them before they get too solidified.
Yeah, it is a pivotal time in their life.
Right. And so one of the young people wrote, one of her quotes was, "People are all different And we asked them, what did you learn from Inside Out? And her response was, people are all different, and everyone has a soft side.
Mm.
So I thought that was so beautiful, because it's that soft side in us that makes us able to treat one another with respect and to break through some of those boundaries. And, you know, I think when you see yourself as you truly are, is also about breaking through the walls you set up in yourself in terms of self-reflection and self-acknowledgement that allow you to also make sound choices.
Yeah, if I'm beating myself up, if I'm judging myself in a negative way, I'm most likely going to see that in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the soft side, the self-compassion,
right,
is another tool to get past our differences. And again, whether it's an internal difference or an external difference, and the entire idea of my work is getting good with the self so that the self is good with others. And I know that self-compassion goes a very long way personally and in working with some clients. And I like how she said that, that's so sweet.
So, yeah, it really is. And that, I don't know if you want to know how we got around to creating Inside Out, or do you want to just go straight into more thoughts on differences?
Or kind of well, if you think that giving that information on Inside Out will be helpful in this conversation.
Well, you know, just in the sense that it really came out of the Rodney King incident and an acknowledgement that young people were being violent, and, you know, you see on the television screen, you know, people breaking into stores and hating each other. And actually, Jonathan and a group of artists just thought, wow, you know, if we can use the arts to bring out the best in people dealing with psychiatric issues, certainly we can, you know, work with other populations as well. And that's when Inside Out got started. And the whole idea was to bring youth together from different parts of the city, from different socioeconomic strata, from different behavioral and cultural backgrounds, behaviors, kids who are defiant, kids who are painfully shy, you know, students who love the arts, and students who are differently abled. And we brought all of those young people together, believing that we could give them a source of personal power that was not reliant on violence or on material wealth, and that the arts were the perfect vehicle to do that. And that's what we've seen when youth come together the first day, first couple of sessions, you see the guardedness between people, you know, because they are different, especially they look at the differently abled kids. You know, we've worked with youth that are blind or visually impaired, you know, youth with different kinds of physical disabilities, wheelchair users, et cetera. And there's fear. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
a lot of
the difference is really based on fear of the unknown. And so through the telling of our stories, through the arts, through improvisation, through, you know, all of these, through visually creating pictures, whatever, working together, that's how we have found that we can, in fact, celebrate each one another's uniqueness, but also see the beautiful commonality that allows us to respect one another, even if we do not agree. I like that, agree to disagree. You know, some people you may never like, you may never agree with, but that doesn't mean that we can't treat them with respect as another human being who brings something unique to the planet.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about creativity, and one of my thoughts is enhancing the creativity, like the creative juices in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that supports bridging the differences between the youth?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, I think it's very sad that in terms of youth anyway, a lot of young people's imaginations, I don't think they even know they have an imagination in a sense, because we are getting images thrust at us. If you look at television, you know, whatever, it's about every 1.5 seconds you're being, there's another image for you to take in. So it doesn't allow any time for assessment, evaluation, you know, for feeling it. It's just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of reading, is that in reading, it's a focused listening, and it gives you time to mull it over in your mind. And that's where the imagination has a chance to start flourishing, especially through something like reading and radio, because not all the senses are being bombarded. And so there's room there, there's space there to create impressions, to be touched, you know, on a deeper level. And so I think that what Inside Out does is first let youth know they have an imagination, and it strengthens their listening skills through improvisation, where they actually, if they don't listen, they're going to be a fool in front of their peers, so they can't afford to do that. You know,
yeah.
So as a result, they have to pay attention, and in paying attention without having all these images stifling their own abilities, this whole sense of self starts to become revealed to them. And then we take them to a place in nature where, for most of these young people, they have never been to the ocean, and they live just, you know, a couple of miles from the Pacific. And
yeah.
They could be 14 years old and never been to the ocean. So we also let nature inspire the imagination. And we bring youth together, like I said, who've never met before in nature, where it's nobody's territory. So those gang lines that they set up are also broken through. And it kind of, all of this stuff, plus an artist-to-child ratio of 1-6, creates a safe place. And out of that safe place, then discovery and fear can be let go. And this other part of self, that inner child, which for so many young people and so many adults, never had a chance to be a child. So they don't even know what that inner child is. And that's where the wonder in the imagination, which is fostered from that place of innocence and awe and wonder and the ability to, you know, see things differently. And so I think that we kind of create this giant petri dish, if you will, of safety that allows that to happen. And I think we can never underestimate the importance of creating a safe place.
No, no, not at all.
And so out of that, imagination, the arts, everything, you can take a chance. If you know you're not going to be humiliated, you know, if you know that you're going to be encouraged, not only not humiliated, but encouraged, protected, then you have a chance to find out a little bit more about who you really are.
Yeah, and
who each other is, and that.
Yeah.
And then again, we can say, "Wow, I had no idea," and that's where we then can come together again.
I really love seeing that in the process of working with the kids, is seeing them guarded and fearful in the beginning, and trepidatious, and coming in with certain judgments, and then taking the time to connect with all the other kids in the group through creative endeavors, and suddenly they see themselves differently, but they also see the beauty in each other. And by the time the program is complete, it's like a whole different group than, it's amazing, a whole different group from when they began.
Yes, exactly.
And there's this light, you know, there's this light in their eyes.
Mm.
And just thinking about, again, like the enhancement of creativity, I'm thinking that it decreases some level of fear.
Yes.
And what else? The other thing I think is important in terms of getting past differences and what I think that Inside Out Community Arts brings to the table is reminding the youth, reminding people that they have choice.
Right.
And
right. Well, we do that actually even in our workshops. I mean, that's the lovely thing is we try to teach life lessons without being didactic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may, we do a couple of improvisations where we have to come up with, determine an ending for the, you know, who are the people, what is the conflict, they start acting it. And it's not, you know, mommy and daddy in a chair and you yelling at them. It's like an extraterrestrial and an astronaut in a spaceship, you know. So it allows the use of metaphor to play these things out. And then in the end, what we do is we point out that, okay, so we have this conflict. Now there's a conflict because most kids think, and I think most adults too think, somebody wins, somebody loses, you know.
Right. So let's talk about that, the conflict, the win-win, the win-lose, the lose-lose.
Right.
And how that is offered to the youth in the workshops and hearing what the outcome is.
Right. Well, so, you know, as I said, when we start, most young people think it's one wins, one loses. And so we point out, okay, what could be a win-win in this? What could be a win-lose? What could be a lose-lose? And they may put out a suggestion, and we'll all look at it and say, well, you know what? That really isn't a win-lose. That's really a lose-lose, you know? And so it's through that process. So then they have to identify at least one of each form, win-win, win-lose, lose-lose. And then the youth can act out whatever they want. You know, sometimes it's a lot more fun that the abominable snowman and a hiker are arguing so much they don't notice that there's an avalanche coming, and they get both destroyed by the avalanche, and it's fun to act that out. We don't want to stop that, you know. But
right.
We want them to recognize that they have what you went back to, what you started with, choice.
Yeah.
They have choice. And so it's been a wonderful model because then when we have... I mean, I had some young people having a fight right before a session. And so I sat with them and said, okay, so what do you want? What do you want from this? What do you want? Well, are either of you winning this way? I mean, what would you describe what we are at right now? You know, and they'd say lose, lose. And so I said, yeah, so what can we do? Is there a way we can make this a win-win? And they actually got it. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so they found a way to compromise because what they really wanted was to be treated with respect.
Yeah,
know?
that goes back to clarifying their intention.
Yeah.
You know, what do they want?
Right. Well,
what is most important?
And you said that before, clarify your intention, and I use that a lot too. Is our intention to be right, or is our intention to work together, to make a great play, or whatever the intention is? And when they can see that, they really do get that. But, you know, the sad part for them and for most of us is we didn't get that kind of parenting. We didn't
mm-hmm.
get that from our teachers. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't come easy. And that's why,
no.
thankfully, there are people like you out there, Janet, who are helping
okay.
us to get that. You know, I even find we teach in our training of artists, as you know, how to give acknowledgments. And
mm-hmm.
artists will say to me, gosh, this is so hard. And I say, were you given this as a child? Well, then you don't come by it honestly. It is now learned behavior, something that should be obvious, but it isn't. It's not obvious in our society.
No.
So
in
we
fact,
have to learn it. But it is
yeah.
learnable.
In fact, I encourage people, those I work with or friends who come for advice, one of the things that seems to work well in terms of conflict. So say the difference is as mild as a conversation that is in conflict versus the war. And I encourage them to start off the conversation with some sort of appreciation or acknowledgement of that person.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, from their heart, and that softens it up right away.
Yeah.
And, but I agree, it's, we have not been conditioned to acknowledge and appreciate, and we have not been conditioned to receive it.
Yes, receive it. Isn't that the truth? It works both ways. It works both ways.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that's a beautiful way to start. I love that. We finish our workshops at the very end with what we call the warm circle, where every child has to say something positive about every person in their playgroup. And for some, it's hard. But, you know, and for some, they're expecting the worst, and they hear these things, and they go, really? You know, they're surprised that people actually saw that in them. So sometimes the click, as I call it, happens very early on for some youth. Some it happens when they actually get on stage and they do it and they have the support of their fellow cast members and the audience. For some it's that closure session. And for some it happens maybe a year or two later and suddenly we get a phone call or a letter or something thanking us for something that, you know, they didn't realize until later what a difference it made for them.
Yeah, so that's sometimes we don't see the result or the outcome or the reward right away.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think that's actually important to keep in mind for the for people who are listening is even though we're working through a difference and we've taken steps to work through the difference, we may not see the reward immediately, so keeping that in mind, too.
You know, I think that goes in also for people who are working so hard to make change on the planet. As an acting teacher, I worked with professional actors in both voice and acting, and we used to have a workshop to teach monologues, but what you did is you thought of someone you had never thanked, and you wrote their name out three times with your non-dominant hand, looked at a flame in the center, and then you talked to that flame and you thanked them. And we had students from age 18 to 60-something. And I have to tell you, I would say 90% of the people that were thanked that had never been thanked were teachers.
Aww.
And I was so touched by that because it really helped me to recognize you may not see that click happen, you may never know it happened, but here we had 90% of these people thanking someone they never ever saw again. So one can never underestimate the impact of your work and don't get discouraged, you know, because we are making, I love that difference is used in so many different ways. We are making a difference.
I'm going to pause here and just make the call out the phone numbers again for people who want to call in. Toll free 877-876-5227. 530-876-3222 or from Canada 888-815-9756. Camille and I will continue speaking, but please feel free to call in. Your opinion, your thoughts really matter. And so, Camille, I would actually like to get to learn your personal opinion on differences, like the definition of it. I spoke at the beginning of the show that I think it's part of our human makeup and it'll always be that way. And I'd just love to hear your thoughts on the topic itself, the definition.
Well, that's a very profound question, actually. I think what I'd like to say is, for instance, the council work that I do, which is sitting in a circle and one person has a talking piece and we each tell our story. And I learned it through the history of the Native American peoples, but as you say, it actually goes even further back in time than that. It's many indigenous peoples throughout history have used some kind of form like this. And I think in America in particular, we tend to forget about it. But it's the idea that there are many seats in the circle. And in order to make a decision, a tribe, for instance, as I understand it, each of these seats in the circle would speak their truth. And then after hearing their stories, not like, I think we should, I think we should. It's by telling a personal story on a topic. And it was after hearing all those stories that then the elders may then gather and make a decision. But it really emphasizes what you were saying before, that each of us is contributing to that circle. And each story really is different. We each sit in a different seat in the circle, and we'll never see the world exactly the same. And as you say, thankfully we won't, because that's how we learn to see different parts of the world, is because somebody's eyes are different. You know, the, I used to do a little exercise that I understand, again, goes back to Native American, where they would put an object in the center of the circle that had many facets, you know, like a sculpture of some kind, and ask each child in the circle to describe what they saw. And, of course, each description was different. Had to be, because they were sitting in different angles to the sculpture.
Sure.
So they saw different things. And I think that when we can acknowledge that and let go of this need to be what we think is right, that there is no right per se, that allows us to be more generous with ourselves, which you talked about before, that allows us to then be more generous with others. I think that the differences and the fear that we have is always from within and then projected on the without.
And, I agree, And you're bringing up the subject again about being right versus, you know, what the overall intention, let's say, or desire. And it's such an interesting topic. Am I being right about something? Or as Phil Holcomb, one of my amazing mentor, says, be right about a workable position.
Be right about a what?
A workable position. So instead of just having to be right about a workable position, which there is no differences in the workable position. It's a win-win. So be right about a win-win here, rather than having to be right. And I think that there are many people who are not even aware that they're just attempting to be right.
Well, and I think that that all, again, comes from this competitive kind of learning that, you know, you've got to be better than someone else to get ahead. You know, I mean, that's another thing, by working in the circle and inside out and treating everybody as creative equals. And even the artist, everybody's called by their first name. When we teach, and I say that in quotes, we don't stand up most of the time. We sit in the circle with them to reinforce the whole idea that we all have something valuable to contribute. But I'll tell you, I mean, I've had some real struggles in my life where I've had differences with people. And I found the place where I could love that person. And I found the place where I could treat them with respect. But I never really overcame the differences in terms of, I still see things and disagree. It's like that agreeing to disagree.
Sure.
And in some cases, it means you do have to move on, I think. I hate having to say that, but I think there's
sometimes
where you just have to say, this is not serving either of us, and I need to move on. But I'm not moving on from a place of anger.
Yeah.
I'm moving on from an acknowledgement of, you know, that we can't work together as such. We create a whole. I've learned from you. You've learned from me. But it doesn't mean that we should keep trying to work together.
Sure.
You know, as a friendship, whatever it might be.
And that was a hard lesson that I learned. I would say, in my early 20s, is I was attempting to hang on to every relationship, friendship,
mm-hmm.
and there were so many differences. And at that time, I had no tools, or I thought I didn't have any tools to work it out. And then I was so fearful of letting go of certain relationships, but I did it. And then it was like, it was like a big relief for me. And I finally got okay. Like I became okay with letting go of a relationship and realized that not all relationships are meant to last forever, that they serve a purpose and they serve it for, you know, a certain amount of time. And it doesn't mean that we're walking away and not, you know, being a victim of the differences. There, in the situation is our differences could be so profound in terms of like our own core values.
Exactly. Well, and that, you know, that's the exact right word, core values.
Yeah.
You know, and so yes, I and it is a hard thing to accept. You know.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we're asking our kids, you know, get along.
Mm-hmm.
But getting along doesn't mean that you have to like the person, I don't think. I do think, I mean, for me, my goal is to find the love for each human being, you know. And that's why working with the criminally insane, people used to say, how can you do that? You're working with murderers and all kinds, you know, people who've done heinous crimes.
But they're human.
Right, exactly. They're human. And through the arts program that I did with them, I got to see that inner child that was abused and hurt and never got to be, you know, the beautiful being that it had the potential for. How could I
right.
hate that?
Yeah,
you know?
And probably not educated on basic life skills as we were speaking earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, so I could find the place of love for these people, and I don't even want to say these people, because I could find the place of love in I try to find the place of love in everybody that I meet. You know,
yeah, and sometimes it takes longer than
others. Yes.
Well, I'm putting it out there, you know. I mean, I'm putting as much information out there to our listeners as possible, because there are so many different components.
Yes.
And, you know, like finding the love in somebody might take longer for me than it would for you, or creating a win-win with somebody might take a shorter time for me than it would for you, or letting go of a relationship, because the differences are really around the core values and seeing it as you know, that it was an opportunity for a certain amount of time, that might be easier for you to do than it is for somebody else. And
but I think the important thing on that one in particular is that it is okay. It doesn't mean that we have failed. You know, that's what
yeah.
we start putting it back on ourselves again. I'm supposed to be this, you know, spiritual being and blah, 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 blah. It's not a failure. I mean, it takes two people, and if you can leave without anger, if you can leave from a place of love, there's a wonderful quote I have, forgiveness is letting go of all hope for a better past. You know,
mm-hmm.
so you can really accept that in a loving way towards yourself as
yeah.
well as the other, then you have bridged your differences, you know?
Self-forgiveness.
In a larger scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal story that you would like to or be willing to share without breaking any type of confidentiality, so that the listeners have a different taste for it? It's up to you.
In terms of bridging differences?
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of have sort of already, I mean, I Not really.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, well, there are two friends in my life that will not talk to me anymore, and that my friends talk to them. They just suddenly stop talking to me for no reason that I know of, because they wouldn't tell me. And I tried everything. I called them for weeks. I wrote letters to them, and I was so hurt. We'd been friends for years. I mean, like, 17, 18 years. And I finally had to let it go, and I still send them light. And, in fact, at one point, now this is interesting. The last letter I wrote was something about I never want to ever hear from you again or something. And as I started writing this, I'll never have you, I don't remember, but I used the word never. And my eyes went dark. I couldn't see. I literally started going blind, so to speak. I couldn't see. And my hand was shaking, and I thought, I can't write this. This isn't right. Don't follow through on this, Camille. So I stopped, and I took some time to reconsider. And then I finally wrote a letter just saying that if the time should ever come, I will be there for them. And and said it from a place where I really meant it, because I knew the never. It was going against every grain of my soul, my body, my spirit, to say never. And so I've let it go at that, And I think about them and I miss them, but I've accepted that for whatever reason, this is what it is for now. But I feel like, there's a saying, today is a good day to die. And I feel like even if we never talk again because of where I am with them and my ability to find that other place and the letter I did ultimately write, that today would still be a good day to die. It's not a loose end.
Sure. So there's no regrets.
Yeah.
Mhm. Well, I'm just thinking about so many different situations where people have their differences, inner conflict with the self, in romantic relationship and marriage, parent to child, co-worker to co-worker, co-worker to boss, company to company, country to country, religion to religion, what else?
Well, and it's all fear.
Environment.
I mean,
what?
It really all goes back to fear.
It really does.
Do believe. I mean, when you look at the real core of certain religions, for instance, it's about love. Ultimately, I'm reading Harry Potter, and I'm totally enthralled because it's all about core values that I really honor. And I think about how there are some of these, religious organizations, fundamentalists, who have just, slashed it as Satan and blah, blah, blah. But if they read it, they would see that it was the teachings of the Christ consciousness, And so it's fear. I really think all of these differences are fear. Well, not all of them. I'm sorry. We have different core values, and there can be an acknowledgement of that and a recognition that these core values really are in opposition to my core values.
Yeah.
And so, I honor that. You see life differently. This is the way I have to live. This is how I can go to sleep at night. And so this is the choice that I have to make. But again, I don't have to be doing that from a place of striking out at someone or making them bad or hating them or whatever,
Yeah, I do think that it all comes up from, except for the core values, that our differences do come from a fear-based mindset, a fear-based feeling. And the fear, for me, fear is because there's an unknown. I don't have enough information. And again, going back to, the more I know myself, the better my life works. And, the more I see things as they truly are. That was my Boston accent, by the way, that just came out. I even caught it. But the more that I see myself as I truly am, the sound choices I make, and when we make sound choices, the differences are already bridged, or they didn't even come up as an issue. Or if they come up, they're, you know, we're more grounded to deal with them.
Yes. Yes. I like the word sound choices too, because I'm very much into sound and sound healing, and I really feel it's important that we must put sound on these things.
Yeah.
I like that
thank
word
you.
Sound, you know. We had, early on, we had a camping retreat where the three schools were, it was terrifying. There was a real sense of danger at the camp, and so we decided to have ask each of the schools to pick a representative to talk to everybody about what they were feeling, you know. And the one school that was expressed how they felt that people were afraid of them, and just because their skin color was this or that, that it, mm-hmm. you know, this is how it made them feel. And another school talked about, you know, same thing, just because you. And so because each of the groups spoke, it broke through those differences when they realized everybody was afraid.
Everybody.
Everybody felt misunderstood.
Right.
And they ended up leaving the 3 days hugging and crying and missing each other before they'd even left. And, you know, that was just, at first we thought, oh, we failed. And then we realized, no, we succeeded. This is what this program was all about.
Yeah, that
was to bring
great.
It out. So then what we did after that, though, was we started doing more getting to know you games. We added a theater field trip, and we played getting to know you games at the theater field trip before they ever went to camp. And then at camp, we played some more games. You know, games are a wonderful way, laughing together.
Fun.
You know, all of that to break through those things. And we have knock on wood. Well, it's not knock on wood. We've never had that kind of have it come to that point ever again. They were wonderful teachers to us, and
great.
They all grew from the process as well. Everybody. It was another win-win. Win-win.
A win-win. So, Camille, we have just a minute left, and I would like to know how can people get more info about Inside Out Community Arts, and where would they go to donate their time or their money if they choose to?
Or their talent.
Or their talent,
all
yeah.
of the above. Yes, well, the Inside Out Community Arts is located in Venice, California, but we have sites all around the city. If people want to know more, the best place is our website, which is www.insideoutca.org.
And that's CA for California.
No, for Community Arts.
Okay.
Inside Out Community Arts.
CA, okay.
Or California, or Camille Amin.
Yeah. And their phone number is 310?
Yes, and the phone number is 310-397-8820. And we're always looking for artists, any kind of creative person who wants to give back to young people. You know, give us a call if you're in the area. If you're interested in donating, there are many ways to donate in terms of volunteer work and in terms of, obviously, money. There's always, the program is not, it's like $1,200 a child, but every child
yeah.
goes for free, of course, you know. But that's
okay.
because it's intense, and I thank you.
You are so welcome.
Talk about this, you know. It really
yeah.
is.
It's very important, and I appreciate you taking the time, Camille. And I appreciate all my listeners and BBS Radio. And you all have an amazing, extraordinary day. Bye.
Bye. Janet, are you still there?
All right.